Welcome into Camel Call Friday. Coming up a little later in the show, Evan Budrovich and I will take you through what is a great and busy week and weeks in the world of Campbell Athletics. But first, we're going to start off with women's tennis and head coach in his fifth year now for the Campbell women's team. Mike Stevens is with us. And first, coach, you know, time flies, especially in this business. We are in half a decade here, nearly for you. Your thoughts on what you have done here, building this program and getting it to the point it is now.
It's like you said, it's hard to believe it's been 5 years. It seems like just yesterday I got here. So, the first 2 years were a little tricky with the COVID situation and what everyone went through with that. But since then, everything's been going well, been enjoying my time here, and we've had a great group of student athletes over those 5 years. So continuing to try to do our best to see what we can do with the program.
We'll talk about that first. You have done an amazing job, not only getting this program to consistently good height of what you were able to do at the end of your run at the Big South there, but also to putting together. It's always amazing when I look at your roster, and it really looks like a United Nations from Boulder, Colorado, to South Africa, to Serbia, to Florida, and then to Finland and Madagascar. I mean, you literally cover half the world with that. Talk about the challenge and what must be the ups and downs of recruiting all over the world.
It's a lot of emails, a lot of WhatsApp messages, a lot of video calls, a lot of just searching the different databases for the players that we feel will be a good fit for our program, and then just try to build that relationship during the recruiting process and see who will be a good fit for us here at Campbell, both academically and with our program.
What are some of the things with the program and with this university that you're really telling when you're making your recruiting pitch to potential student athletes?
Well, certainly the success of the athletic programs and the academic programs. Those are always the first two things that I speak to them about. What they will be able to do here as far as a career after college, and what they'll be able to study here, what they're interested in studying. And then obviously on the tennis court as well, what they'll be able to, face in terms of competition here in this area of the country, with the ACC schools here and our schedule that we play, and what they'll be able to, how we feel we'll be able to help them develop their game to the player they want to be and what their goals are.
We talked a little bit before we turned the recorder on here, about the first year in the CAA scheduling. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit odd. Obviously, some very good tennis schools in the CAA spread out now from all the way up into the East Coast to down here and to Charleston. There is not a conference schedule per se. You do play a couple of the conference teams, but you don't have that built-in conference schedule. So it's been a challenge. This Saturday, you will play your final home match of the spring, but you've only played four home matches this year. It's quite a challenge, isn't it?
It's been a challenge this first year. I think it'll be a better the next few years after this first year in the CAA, winds down. But as far as not having the built-in home matches with the conference schedule, it's been challenging for us this year. So we have been on the road a bit and have seen a few new places. But it's been nice. You don't have some of the distractions on the road, so that part of it's been good. But we have a lot of home matches next year and looking forward to those. And as we get used to playing the non-conference CAA schedule and see how we can do with the schools that we're able to schedule, it'll get better as far as the number of home matches we're able to get.
You all have been ending the regular season strong, of course, with the final home match coming up, but winners of three of your last four. As you look at this team rounding into shape, what are you seeing from your student athletes out there right now?
We're seeing them come together, not just individually with their on-court level of play, but certainly as a team. We started this build project as we do every August, and it's been a process of some ups and downs and some twists and turns, and they've had their highs and lows as a team, but we've had some very great wins and some tough losses, and I think the team is really coming together at the right time now and really working hard. They're very dedicated to seeing how far they can get in the conference tournament. not looking past the match tomorrow, obviously, but they're excited and they're playing well. And it's been a great group of student athletes to work with. And I'm proud of what they've accomplished already and looking forward to see what they can do in the next week.
You mentioned that match coming up tomorrow on Saturday, 1 o'clock, right here in Buies Creek, UNC Wilmington, who is a CAA school. What are you looking to do in that last match? And then maybe give us a preview of the conference tournament coming up at Elon next week.
Yep, for the match tomorrow, everyone's playing well. They've been preparing well for this one. We know it's going to be a tough match coming up. We're looking forward to it. UNC Wilmington always has a strong team. We're very well coached. As a matter of fact, Coach Olson there is a former boss of mine at NC State going back about 20 years. So I always enjoy playing them, and it's great to see them. And he always has a good team, so looking forward to that one.
We don't know exactly where you're going to be seated. That won't happen too early next week. And then you get right into it. By this time next week, hopefully still a couple games in, a couple matches into the CAA championships. What does the breadth of this very big conference look like when you're kind of looking at the potential matchups in the brackets?
You know, half the teams we haven't seen or know too much about other than on paper and the results. So that part is going to be new, which is exciting. As you said, we don't know the brackets yet, so we don't know who our possible opponents will be. But we certainly know we have to be playing very well each day. The conference is very strong. We're going to have some tough competition no matter who we play. And to get through it all, we'll have to win 3 or 4 matches and be playing our best tennis. But I certainly think we're capable of that and looking forward to it.
Finally, we have talked about it before. You have some really unique stories all up and down the rosters, let alone where they're from geographically. Tell us a little bit about your team and those that really get it going for you.
I would say, you know, we have a small team. We have 7 on the roster. It's been great for team bonding and everyone getting to know each other. We do a lot of team bonding activities. They're just wonderful people, I would say. You know, that's the best thing for me. As I've told them several times during the year, this has been one of my favorite teams to work with in 30 years of doing this. And it's just because of their character and the ways they support each other, the way they support the whole environment of trying to help each other out. So that part's been very special. And it'll be sad to see the 2 seniors leave at the end of this semester, but looking forward to bringing in new players next year. But this team has been tremendous as far as just the character of who they are and what they do and how they support each other.
You've mentioned that you've been doing this for a while, and it hasn't all just been coaching for you. You've done a lot of different things within the tennis space. What keeps you coming back to the collegiate coaching? Why has that grabbed you so much?
Well, first of all, it's just to build the different relationships that you're able to build with student athletes and see them develop from freshman year through their senior year, and then keeping in touch with them, you know, after they graduate. That part is very special. And it's the competitive nature of me, I guess, and the sport. You know, when you have 9 matches that go on, the 3 doubles, the 6 singles, and I mean, every time you play a match, there's so many exciting things going on all the courts. So that part of it is very exciting and what I love and trying to develop the student athletes to do their best out there and then their best after they graduate as well.
Well, thank you so much for doing what you have done here, continue to do, and best of luck at the CAA championships coming up next week.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
That's Campbell women's tennis coach Mike Stevens. Evan and I will be back after the break with more of Campbell Cole here on this Friday. The Fighting Camel Club empowers student athletes to lead with purpose on and off the field. Over the past 3 years, donations to the FCC have helped fund scholarships, facility enhancements, health and wellness improvements, and the greatest needs of the athletics department. With our move to the CAA, the need for your support has never been greater. Memberships begin at just $100 and can get you access to exclusive merchandise and seating. Head to gocamels.com and hit the give button. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Camel Call with Evan Budrovich. I'm Chris Haymeyer. Thank you for tuning in to our Camel Call podcast, which you can find on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, the Varsity Sports app, and GoCamels.com. We haven't had an episode in about a month as we have both been traveling with work and not with work and a lot of great stuff going on, so a lot to cover. But we will start with the latest and the greatest, a big baseball win Tuesday night in Raleigh. Campbell beat NC State in extra innings.
For those of you who can sit through 4 hours and 47 minutes of baseball.
That's how like every Sunday game used to be.
That was the pre-pitch clock rules.
Yeah.
What you saw from this Campbell team, though, was grit, resolve.
No doubt.
And just a little bit of toughness that we haven't seen the last 2 months, right? And you think about the first 15 games, Campbell was 13-2. They were rolling. They were healthy. They were playing great baseball. And what I liked about that game was when the pressure was on, their bullpen got outs. They left 18 runners stranded for NC State, so they got out of situations. And then the bats came to play. That bottom third of the order each had two or more hits. We know Grant Nipp is making his way back. He's been starting to practice. He'll be a presence in May or late April. So as this team gets healthier, gets better, they may not be an at-large this year, but they're still a talented team that could give anybody a run for their money.
Healthier is the key to all the great things that you just said there. Look, they're 24-11 overall, 6-6 in conference, but that's overachieving with the injuries that they had, Evan. And this is something, I didn't get this from Coach Hare because he won't make these excuses or whatever, but I found out that going into last week, they had over 20 guys on the injury list. That doesn't mean all 20 guys did not play, but there were over 20 guys on the injury list, including the biggest is two starters that would be in their weekend rotation. They're hoping to have one of them back, but they haven't pitched since February. And that has put a lot of stress moving around. Right now, you're seeing the stress put on that bullpen because so many guys have had to do it.
Won double-figure games last year.
Yep.
And he was arguably the best pitcher in the Big South last year.
He hasn't pitched all year. No.
And he's working his way back, and yep. They have a projected date. He might ease his way into some innings. And then, two, you think Cole Peschel, who's been the midweek guy, is now the Friday guy because of that many injuries. Like, you're just playing piecemeal to make it work. And that record 24-11, we've sat here in certain years and gone, we'd love to be 24-11. Campbell's had slow starts before.
No doubt.
The record is what it is. They just haven't had the league success yet, and they certainly can turn it on that we're used to in the Big South.
Yeah, and that's what's been surprising, 6-6 in conference, a better conference, because you remember, I believe, and I'm not exaggerating this, and it might even be more than this, there was a year and a half where they didn't lose a Friday night game. Now, look, the guys that were at the head of the rotations are now in major league farm systems and top 25 prospects in those farm systems. But you were not used to losing series, and you weren't used to losing on Friday night. So I think the optics think like this. But look, 6-6 in conference, tied for fifth place. There's 15 CAA games to go, including 9 against teams that are ahead of them in the standings. 3 of their next 4 series on the road. Hofstra, and then first place UNCW and Monmouth. Midweek clashes with Duke at home this Tuesday, then on the road for midweeks with Liberty, UNC, and ECU. They are going to have to do
RPI games
and have to do some winning on the road. But look, from at the beginning of this year, Coach Hare told us this is the deepest hit this team has ever been in his 15 years here as an assistant, now as a head coach. And because of that, That's why they have been able to weather this storm. A lot of people might look at it, what's wrong with Campbell, but when you know what's going on inside and with those injuries, I think this is one of his best coaching jobs ever so far. If they get healthy, I think they're going to be in a real good spot. Just the top 6 make the tournament,
right,
which is a little concerning with where you are in the standings.
Fifth, and there's a couple teams at 6-6.
But look, you get Coach Hare and his team in the tournament, and it'd be tough to bet against them.
I will say from the depth standpoint, this Reed Stallman kid at first base has become a fantastic bat.
Yeah.
And we've been spoiled by the Drake Pearsons of the world, these heavy-hitting first basemen we've had over the years. Also, too, from an RPI standpoint, they're at 69, which not only is nice from a tournament standpoint, you could continue to grow in the CAA. This is not a league where you're dropping RPI points every week. I wouldn't be surprised they're getting the 50s, getting the high 40 or low 50s, high 40s. There's still an outside possibility for a tournament, but obviously they got to win some conference series. The good news is we saw them at their best. That's a good NC State team.
Yeah.
We've seen them at their toughest pitching-wise against Stony Brook. If they can find a middle ground, they're going to have a chance to do well in the league.
Yeah, and six opponents left with RPIs in the top 100, including three series, and that's the difference being in the CAA in the Big South. So Duke on Tuesday, then a fireworks Friday coming up next Friday at 6, Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2 versus the College of Charleston. Believe it or not, just seven home games left, and it begins with Duke on Tuesday. Softball. A win that eclipses that. You want to talk about one of the biggest wins, not only in softball history, in Campbell history, as the Humps took down third-ranked Duke, a Duke softball team that literally looked unbeatable. Jayla Wright, Duke's ace, lost her first game of the season, so they weren't just throwing out some freshman that didn't have any innings because it was a midweek game. Bella Smith pitched a two-run, four-hit gem. Campbell then followed up the Duke win with a sweep. She's our National Player of the Week, getting two shutout wins and a three-game sweep of Charleston, two runs in her last six outings, and they beat third-ranked Duke, one of the biggest upsets in Campbell sports history.
It's crazy when you talk to Trina Prater, and she goes, yeah, Bella's been good this year, but she has room to improve. And then you see a 1.9 ERA, yeah. You see double-figure wins. She didn't allow a run in, I guess, her last three starts now. Like, she's pitching at an elite level, and it's sort of, well, we've been spoiled by Bella Smith, and obviously they have depth in the rotation, yeah. But she carries. She's the middle gal for them. And that Duke win, every time we've played Duke here or there, it's been a run rule game. Yeah. Like, not competitive. We've played okay, but they found ways to win by eight or more. To shut down this Duke offense to two runs, and Duke now is number three in the country. They're going to host a super, host a region. They can go to Omaha, or they can go to Oklahoma City. Like, this softball team is starting to click. We told you about the 1-9 start. They're going to figure it out. Their win percentage is like 75 since that first 10-game stretch. Yeah. They're rolling right now.
And I think the fifth Power 5 win for this program, which in softball, that usually is something that doesn't happen. It's an intriguing schedule down the stretch, and you hate to say this, but she said the other day, you don't hate to say this, but she said here today after that Duke win, hey, our goal is to go 13-0. And it's intriguing because Campbell right now, second place in the conference, 14-4, two games behind first place Delaware with nine conference games to go. Campbell's final three games of the regular season are at Delaware. UNCW, a game behind Campbell, is in third, will be hosting the Camels this weekend. When you think about what they need to do, they may have to go 13-0 if they want to win the regular season. They certainly can. The top two teams, softball works like baseball. Only six makes the tournament in the CAA. The top two teams get a bye, which in softball and for this team would mean so much because then you could see pitching Bella for three games on three different days.
And to face Delaware and would be their final CAA game at Delaware, you would play Wilmington the week before, who's also really good. They have an elite pitching staff. Wilmington does. This slots out to be kind of the Longwood Presbyterian Campbell rivalry of the last few years. You get to play them on consecutive weeks. Obviously, you have the Towson week at home, or not Towson, sorry. You have the last home week. You got to take care of business there. But then these next two road weeks, I mean, you talk about Cinderella story, neat aspect, a team that was picked third. They get to play the teams right in front of them. And I want to give the Bella Smith the ball every inning. I know there's depth with Hannah Lear, but I just want Bella to pitch because she is awesome right now.
Yeah, no doubt. They have been sensational, and again, you know, they're going to go into the tournament with a lot of momentum. So big to watch down at UNCW this weekend. Hey, football season, we talk about it. Just got done with the spring game, spring practice. Season tickets on sale now. Since we are in a real football conference, we have all the home games. We know dates and times.
Times? I like the times this year. A little more dynamic.
They are up at GoCamels.com. You mentioned the times. We did a big survey with our season ticket holders, single game holders, and we're like, you know, other than weather, the other thing taking them back were a time. So we did a survey. These are family-friendly times. We're starting at 2. We're starting at 3:30. We're starting at 5. So you can bring the kids out. Can get them home before bed and everything like that, and so it should be a lot of fun. The spring game was last Saturday, great turnout, so much excitement with head coach Braxton Harris. They have to hit the transfer portal hard because they came into this.
So don't fret this week on social media.
Yeah,
you're going to see a bunch of players in the portal.
It doesn't mean they're transferring because they're in the portal. Just remember that
they're leaving.
Yeah.
It also doesn't mean that if a player visits, you know. You have to give it a few weeks. It is hectic. It's college football in its nature. You're wondering why players are in the portal. Of course, we've had players come in and out, even CJ Tillman, right? And he committed to come back, quote unquote, for spring ball, and he's been a big piece. Look at the roster in 2 months.
Right.
And give Braxton and his staff literally 2 months to bring in recruits, bring in visits. It's like men's basketball right now. They're bringing in six new players on the men's side. It's a lot of new faces.
Yep.
It's just the nature of college sports. Don't go who's returning. Go who do we have in 2 months? Get to June and get a sense of who we have.
And this is, you know, in Coach Braxton Harris, this is, you know, we were going to need a lot on the offensive line, a lot on the defensive line, just for graduation and grad students. Yeah, you're right. And being in the transfer portal doesn't mean you're going to go. And it doesn't mean that our coaches here, okay, you're going to be in the transfer portal. It's whatever. It's like, you know what? You got a really good job here. But if somebody else comes calling or you want to see what it is, you know, take a peek. You can come back.
Yes.
Maybe don't put it on social media.
Well, but the nature of that, too, it's from a player's standpoint. It's a re-recruitment.
No doubt.
And I will say, in these players' defense, new coaching staff, new philosophy, some of these players are going, where do I fit? And there's conversations of, hey, you're going to play this position. Hey, you're going to get this amount of reps. That's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's just honesty. Hey, you may not play here. Or, hey, you need to pursue other opportunities. It happens in a lot of sports.
You're right.
You bring in new players who maybe fit your system or they get more reps. Don't overanalyze what happens the next month on social media.
Right. No doubt. No doubt. Track sprinting towards the CAA Outdoor Championships. It's going to be in Burlington, North Carolina, May 9th through the 10th. They have meets pretty much every weekend. And again, they continue to break records. And we're going to see a lot of our athletes in NCAA regionals. Lacrosse, two more home games left in their season. It'll be this Saturday at noon, next Saturday at noon. We knew this is a tough, tough league. Look, right now the two teams at the top of the league are in the top 25 and receiving votes. It is not only one of the best mid-major women's lacrosse leagues in the country, but it is one of the best lacrosse leagues, period. And Campbell has lost their two top scorers for the majority of the season. They've had four losses by four goals or less. We had a great conversation about this season, about the challenge with head coach Don Easley. Jocelyn Hansberry from Camel Call Live last week. Give it a listen here on the podcast. But a chance to pick up some wins here at the end, which would be good. But with what they are injured, it's just impossible.
And you add in the fact that a lot of the senior class, the fifth years, came back to follow up their run to the finals. What they have shown is resolve. They've shown fortitude, toughness, a lot of the adjectives we like to throw in there. But I saw them in person at the Duke match. Even though they were losing, there was no quit. There wasn't a stoppage in opportunities. That's a team that resembles their head coach. They're gritty. They work really hard in the classroom, high academics. And the season wasn't what they wanted. And yes, they're not going to a conference tournament. But there's a steep learning curve in the CAA lacrosse. Some sports, it's transmittable. This one isn't. And this team has actually gotten better without the injuries, right? You lose your top two players in Raza Welsh and Sam Bischoff. However, these are student-athletes, and these girls are going to work hard in the classroom. You know, the good news is they have a William & Mary team on senior day that's kind of like them. And they could easily win that match and go out winners. And that's a nice way to end your season.
Yeah, both of those contests are going to be on Flow Sports, and again, you look at the record, but you know more about what has gone on this season, and it's a team they're going to have to do what Dawn Easley did when she got here. She got a team that was created from nothing and built them to the top of the Big South, and will, I'm sure, do the same with the CAA. So our women's golf team, an incredible run came to an end, and when you think about it, I am pretty confident to say I don't think that this streak will ever be broken here at Campbell. And I know there are many, many good days ahead, but women's golf and 30-mile-an-hour wins, of course they're not familiar with, did not win the conference championship. Seven straight conference championships with Heck, which our baseball team, that could be in jeopardy. But it ends a streak of 11 straight NCAA appearances. 11 straight NCAA appearances, just incredible. That will never be broken.
You go back to the Tanya Ravenjack and Nadine White years where they won the Big South by 40 strokes, right?
You're doing it with probably 30 different players during that time.
You have not only dominance, but they would go to nationals twice in that 11-year run, right? And as a team, and then the third year have Nadine White out of Australia go as an individual to nationals. And even this year, they were still a top 100 team.
Yep.
You know, they weren't where they traditionally are in the top 40 or 50, but they're still a really good golf program. This wasn't a huge drop for them.
Mm-mm.
And that was a good CA tournament. I think the fun part with that program is they get the most out of those athletes that I've ever seen from a power standpoint in the tee box, from a skill level, from a recruiting standpoint with Ashley Sloop and head coach John Crooks. Like what they do, they over-maximize their talent every year. And they're always dominating. Like they would win the Big South by 30 strokes.
Yep.
You don't do that in stroke play against opponents. And they've shown, too, that at a national level, they can go to a regional and compete. They're not going 13th out of 13. They'll crack the top 10. They'll try to fight for a top six. Like they've built that as a when you think of what is Campbell known for athletically, golf, I think, is right at the top of the conversation.
Oh, yeah, because it has been the most consistent program. And you go back with Coach Crooks, it has been 30 years, really two decades of dominance. But the 11 straight NCAA appearances, and a couple of those were at-large bids, too. You know, teams other than baseball don't get at-large bids. It's just incredible what happened. Crazy course conditions. This was a rebuilding year. I mean, transfer portal, grad student transfers have hit. The golf program's hard as well. Their top two golfers
went to Tennessee and Kentucky.
Yeah.
So you lose power five golf. Like, that is hard to replicate and fill right
now. No doubt. Men's golf, the men heading to St. Helena Island in South Carolina this Sunday. They'll start their CAA championship.
Boy, they never pick New Jersey or Boston.
Well, no. They know in the Northeast to come down. But how about this? You know, the men's team, you want to talk about rebuilding. They're young. They've got a really strong future. Matt Moot has recruited well since he's come back in and taken over as the assistant for that program. But, you know, this is a men's golf team, two straight top five finishes. Freshman Eric Johansson, he won his first collegiate tournament at the Seahawk Invite. They are playing well, and I'm really interested to see what they do as a team. And they have a couple of individuals that can go out there and win the thing.
The tricky part about golf in general, you go stroke play to match play. And with them, they've shown some great rounds. They have individual rounds where they're top five, top four. It's interesting with them because you talk to Moot and he goes, yes, there are rounds we can win any tournament. And then doing it for a live style, three rounds, it's challenging. It's challenging to be consistent at that high level. And this league, unlike the Big South, where it was Charleston Southern and Campbell competing every year, you have seven or eight programs
that
are at that level.
No doubt. So it'll be interesting to see golf as they get things going this Sunday. Also, it is tournament time for our tennis teams. Our women's tennis team, still about a week and a half away. They've won three of their last four matches. They'll play their final regular season match of the season this Saturday at 1 versus UNCW a week from Thursday. They get fired up with the CAA tournament, which will be close by in Elon. Men's tennis, they are in the throes of the CAA tournament right now. Came into the tournament 12-7 overall, having won three straight, five of their last six. So expect some fireworks. They're in Williamsburg. They're seeded six for the CAA tournament. So who knows?
Playing round versus Hampton.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that everybody gets in tennis. In the Big South, you don't get that treat. So in the CAA, it's nice that everyone gets a chance.
Yeah, no doubt. And it has been so long since Evan and I have been together on this podcast that this is some old news but great news. Tay Gadi Ali became Campbell's second ever All-American, finished eighth at the Wrestling National Championships in Kansas City. That was last month now. Campbell, too, when you look closer at it, they advanced more wrestlers to the second day of the tournament, and that's where you either have to win your first match or win or lose and win in there than they ever have done before. They ended up finishing 30th in the country as a team. Tied with UNC, they are above a lot of Power 5 programs. Also, top 30 in the country in the Scholar All-America rankings as well.
And that's a part that Scotty Sentes has always emphasized, the academics. I think a team 3.3 to 3.4 GPA, which is hard to do when you have 70 wrestlers. You combine that with rigorous, you're a dual-season sport between fall and spring. And for Tay, so such a neat story. He was essentially kicked off the team a few years back and had to work his way back onto the roster. He was not a heavyweight and transitioned to it. He was not very good a couple years ago at that heavyweight and then got better and better. And then Jerry Haino graduated. He earned the spot.
Yeah.
And now he's one of the best wrestlers in the country, right? And that bloodbath round was so excellent with him moving on to earn the All-American. Like, that's a kid who got his degree.
Yeah.
He's doing a master's. Probably if one or two things don't happen, may never have been at Campbell, right?
Yeah.
And overcomes those issues and finds a way to persevere, and he just graduated. So
yeah.
What a neat story for him.
There were a couple. There were a handful of people. Scotty Sintez, his head coach, and Hannah Bazemore at the time was a sports administrator from wrestling. Now, of course, our AD. They both went to bat for him. Some things that that may have got him in other years and other programs kicked off this campus, and they brought him in. And it's really an incredible story of someone that worked hard in the classroom and in the mat, and he's getting what he deserves right now. So. So congratulations, a little belated, to our wrestling team. That'll do it. It's a fun time of year of the spring sports are winding up.
And I want to give some credit to this men's basketball staff. They are hitting the ground between Iceland, Division II, UNC Wilmington transfer.
Yeah.
Some of the names aren't official yet, so I won't say all of them. But, like, this kid from St. Francis can ball, man.
Yeah.
He put up 20 against us. And that's a, you know, you lose Delly, who, by the way, Bill Self called him already. Kansas has offered Delly, so
wow.
I don't think we're getting him back. But
this is all breaking news that you're hearing right here, folks.
Yeah, this is behind the scenes. But the good news, this St. Francis kid, like, he's a 15-point. I'm not going to say he's the next Delly, but in terms of a player you can build around, he's a great addition.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it well when we talked about it early. Yes, there's going to be players that go into the transfer portal, but you also need to be paying attention this time about the student athletes and the people that are coming in. It works both ways. You didn't think college coaching was tough enough than the transfer portal era, but that's a good point you made.
And even LV could come back,
yeah.
Right? He's in the portal. Doesn't mean he's,
right,
quote-unquote, gone. He's exploring options, looking overseas. Kevin McGeehan may talk to him like he did with G, and
that's right,
elect to come back. There's always all open.
Evan Budrovich not in the transfer portal, thankfully, and I don't know how to get into the portal. So thank you for staying here. We will have another one of these. Sorry we missed 2 weeks ago. We'll have another one in 2 weeks where we'll talk a lot and be talking about our diamond teams headed to the CAA tournament. For Evan, I'm Chris. Don't miss Camel Call Live coming up this Monday, 6:30 to 7:30. Braxton Harris, Campbell's head football coach, will talk about the spring, the transfer portal, what's ahead. That's coming up 6:30 to 7:30 Monday night at the county seat for Camel Call Live. For Evan, I'm Chris, saying so long. Thanks for listening.